All right, hello. Welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. It's Sunday night. I am Jason Napolitano, and on the phone, Mr. Chris Sheridan. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well today. It's been a good day.
It's good to hear. It's good
to hear. Yeah, right? It is.
I understand. You got out and you played a little music.
Yeah, I did. Rock and roll. It has been a long time since I've rock and rolled.
Nice.
Now it's been hours. So all it's right. been a good day. Yeah.
That's fantastic. It's good to get out and get back to normal again, you know, somewhat at least, right? So we're all moving towards getting back to somewhat normal lives, hopefully. So today we are talking on the Cosmic Eye Show on the subject of shut up and listen. So you may wonder, how is that a spiritual topic? Well, you'll find out soon. So I'm your host, of course, Jason Napolitano. As I said, my book is If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate. And Chris Sheridan is our other host. And his book is The Spirit in the Sky. And both of those can be purchased on Amazon. And you can check us out at cosmiceye.org as well. And if you'd like to make a donation, we highly encourage you to, because we all need your help. We need your help here, you know, spreading the word, getting the show out there and so forth. And it always helps when people support us financially. Anchor.fm/cosmiceye is where you do that. So. All right, shut up and listen, Chris.
Yeah.
Shut up and listen.
All right.
You're not saying a damn thing, but, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. So this is our subject today. I'm going to shut up and listen, and I'll let you start. How about that? You good with
that? Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, now that you've shut up and that you're listening.
And I am.
And I am. Yeah. Wow. So I think we miss so much that we can receive. From wisdom, from other people, from our own inner wisdom, from the great beyond, if we just shut up and listen, because this talking, this thinking, this feeling, even if it's thoughts, you know, it's this internal chatter going on, thinking we know this or how we're going to control this or how we're going to get out of this or get into that thing. And we don't, I don't think, pause enough to listen. And physiologically, you know, we talk about occult anatomy, that parts of the body, you know, might refer esoterically to, you know, spiritual thoughts and, you know, metaphors for psychological aspects. Well, if you look at your senses and the body part that is involved with each of those senses, you have two eyes, you have two ears, and you have one mouth. So use them accordingly, you know, maybe look twice, maybe listen twice before, for every time that you once speak. If that's where our bodies are designed, well, maybe that's, we can learn something even from that.
That's a great example. It's a great clue, isn't it? They say, you know, I've heard people say that before, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, and it's like, you know, use them. So that's a great point. I think, you know, it's hard because, you know, we want to be heard. We want to share our peace. We want to share our, you know, our truth and so on with others. And we want to, you know, kind of stand up for what we think is right and try to teach and, you know, whatever it is, just be understood. But this is one of these things where it's like, it's kind of a paradox in a way, because the more we want to be understood, the more we want to, you know, others to listen to us and so on, the more that we're forcefully trying to shove our views down people's throats by talking and arguing and so on, really the less understood we're going to be and the less we're going to connect with people. And so, you know, there's a sort of a strange paradox at work. Like, really, the more you listen, the more you will be understood and the more you will understand others. So, you know, it's sort of, you'd think, well, how am I going to be understood by listening? And there's a subtle, you know, form of communication going on between all of us, you know, and most of us who are listening, I think, probably, you know, can understand the psychic levels of communication, energy, the sort of vibrational patterns and all the different things. And, you know, the idea that we're sort of a sending and receiving station of invisible information. These kinds of ideas, I think, are not foreign to most of our listeners. So, you know, of course, actual physical conversation, you know, the actual sound waves that are coming out of our mouths and going to the other person's ears and being, you know, translated into information in their brains, is just one aspect of the communication, just one aspect of the communication. And so, you know, this is why, you know, we're trying to stress this idea. And we talked a little bit about this as well in the last show. We were talking about spiritual communication. It's really kind of a corollary to that show as well. But it's really stressing this, the power of sort of stilling the mind, the power of stilling the chatter that's going on, the power of really listening to the other person and, you know, listening to the world around you, listening to the spiritual world within you. Because, you know, without the listening, there is no true understanding, right?
Well, there's no true communication. Communication, by definition, you know, I mean, or by a definition, I suppose, is that there's a transmitting and a receiving and then a feedback and then this loop that goes from one to the other and then back again. But it really needs this listening, this receptive, not just that you're just waiting for your turn to talk. You know, or rehearsing your lines while the other person's talking when you're, you know, it is your turn. So, but think of it like this. Think of it like an echo. You're in a canyon or someplace, a cave. And if you send out, hello, you know, echo, if you're still doing that, you're not going to hear the echo back. You have to do it and then wait. And listen, you know. Mm-hmm. So, it is this, you're not just going to sit back and not say anything. That's not exactly what we mean by shut up and listen. You know, speak when it is your turn, speak your piece, and then shut up and listen. And you might hear something echoed back. You might hear something you hadn't heard before. You've already heard your point of view. If you're able to jump in instantly and articulate it very forcefully or quickly, no, I believe this, and here's why, you already know that, okay? You don't need to reinforce that. And if you can maybe reduce the amount of emphasis you put on that and open up more to the possibilities of what's not that.
Yeah.
And you can still have your opinion. It doesn't mean it's going to change, you know, your thing, but it might color it or enhance it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You might understand the other person better, your audience, and then you can retransmit, well, let me say it this way, because you've learned about them, and now I can, I can present it maybe in a different way. Maybe I wasn't doing it, optimally, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's, you know, it's one of those things, and, you know, I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure you are as well. So many times when we're talking, especially if it gets a little bit heated or we're really, you know, passionate about something, or, you know, it's an area of disagreement, you know, between you and someone else, or it's one of these sort of conversations that you have, say, over and over again, maybe it's with a partner or a wife or a husband, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. You know, you've got these kind of stock conversations oftentimes that you go through that are, you know, that push your buttons. You know, and they automatically will start if this or that stimulus is sort of presented to you, you know? And it's one of these things almost like you've created this neurologically in yourself to be so sort of, I hate to use this word because I think it's kind of a poor word, but it's in the public eye. It's this idea of being triggered by things. Okay, this is the thing about being triggered. You're triggering yourself. You know, you have set up a pattern of neurological, you know, information that exists that if this stimulus is presented to me, then I am going to have this particular psychological and physiological response to it. You've done it so many times, it's patterned into your body and you don't even think about it. It's unconscious. One of the things that you can do to break that is to break that pattern so that, you know, when something happens, let's say someone says to you, you know, you never pick up your clothes off the floor. That's something stupid. But you know, maybe that reminds you, and you don't even remember where it reminds. Maybe it reminds you of, you know, of your mom or your dad saying this, and then afterwards you caught a beating or something, and you know, who knows why these things get patterned into us. But somehow that's got transferred over to this, you know, this argument that you want to have with your significant other all the time that gets started when those particular words are used, let's say. And it can be anything. I'm saying insert your issue into that thing, right? It's that whatever you would want to call, you know, when you say like people push your buttons or whatever, you get triggered or any of these kinds of sayings. It's that sort of thing. Someone can just say the thing or do an action or look at you in a certain way, and it causes a physiological and psychological and spiritual or whatever on all these different levels reaction within you that brings up, let's say, from you, bad behavior and unwanted responses that you're not really into, or you don't enjoy it, and afterwards you feel bad and you find yourself apologizing, this, that, and the other thing, right? One of the ways to get through that is to use this simple idea: just shut up and listen. So you've got, so it breaks the pattern by this. So you hear the thing, it makes you mad, it pisses you off, you want to react, you're about to do the thing that you normally do, but instead of saying something, you just be quiet. And you listen and you watch what's going on within yourself, and you listen to the other person speaking to you, and you kind of try to understand what they're saying. You try to separate yourself a little bit from the automatic responses and just don't react. Even in your mind, you might do something like, even if you've got to check out for a second, if it's a really overpowering thing, you know, count from 1 to 10 or something, or just start watching your breath and, you know, still trying to listen to the person and react. But you know, kind of creating a break in that pattern. So what that does is like, it's, you know, it basically, you know, you've got this sort of wiring within yourself, and if you sort of disrupt that wiring, the automatic things that normally happen that get escalated up into that fight won't occur, because you break that thing. It's like, you know, it's really normally that kind of, let's say, that trigger word or that, you know, button pushing word that someone's using is almost like starting a car. You know, once the key's in and the ignition is turned, the stuff happens automatically, and you know, before you know it, the car is started, right? This is the sort of thing where, you know, they're you know, the person says the thing that normally starts the car, but instead of reacting to it internally and allowing it to just unfold on its normal pathways, you just stop. You don't say anything back. You watch it. You experience it. You can even be mindful of it and say, you know, I'm experiencing anger. I'm experiencing frustration. You label it and watch it, right? Still listening to the other person if they're speaking, but not reacting. Not reacting. And that's what we kind of mean, you know, in this little shorthand thing of saying, shut up and listen. So that's one example of using that to your, you know, to your benefit. And then hopefully as time goes on, you know, then you can actually, you know, you might even explain to the person you're talking to, I'm not sure where this really comes from. You know, maybe this is from childhood. I'm still trying to work on this. I'm sorry if sometimes it, you know, it turns escalates things. But, you know, if you could be careful about saying XYZ or doing this particular pattern of things, you know, maybe we could communicate a little bit better. Something like that, you know, and you're able to actually talk it out in a sort of in an amicable way, right? Instead of it turning into the normal thing where somebody's stomping off and, you know, peeling out of the driveway and has to go to the bar to get drunk, and you know what I'm saying? And it escalates into that kind of thing, right? So
Again, another patterned
another
response.
pattern
I'm
response.
sure it's not the first time you've peeled out of the driveway and
No.
headed down to the pub for a pint.
Exactly. So
But I get what you're saying, and that's I kind of want to stick with that triggered thing a little bit. Is getting to the point to where you're listening. Maybe you're not as much hearing the terms or the words, and maybe you're listening to the person who's doing the speaking, especially if you don't agree with what they're saying. Just say, well, here, this is a person talking. And maybe if I can understand that person a little bit better, whether I like them or not, you know what I mean? You don't even have to get on board with it, but get on board with it. There's a human being talking. And as you do, you will also recognize the other human being in the conversation, which is you, and a little self-reflection while you're shutting up and listening. You know, we might be, you know, able to see what's going on in ourselves. Like, why is this triggering? I don't even know this person.
Yeah.
Get a random email and I'm, you know, I'm on DEFCON 5 and I'm, you know, all bells are ringing and, you know, like as if, and it's like, maybe the person doesn't even know they're triggering you, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But you've set the trap already.
Sure.
And it's there. It doesn't mean it's not real, but it's automatically under a certain, you know, they said stimulus or a certain condition that it automatically opens up and you find yourself and say, well, geez, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody, I don't know, insult me and say, oh, well, you know, if you had a real job, you know, you'd know what it's like, you know, you've never worked a hard day in your life or, you know, something like that. And that would maybe because that's some issue of mine that I feel either defended about or maybe they're right in some way or maybe I have spent a lifetime so far trying to improve those things to the absolute best I can and pride myself in work ethic and things. And then when somebody attacks that, it's like, oh, my gosh, what, you know, why would that be so fragile if I've really spent that much time? It'd be like somebody saying, hey, I'm Mother Teresa. What a selfish. Can you believe her raising all that money,
yeah.
You know, jet setting and, you know, hanging out with the, yeah, with those, you know what I mean?
With those hype, you know, with those lepers in India, right? Yeah.
It's not even true. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Some of these triggers may not even be true.
Sure, sure.
There might be an evidence mounting against it and on your favorable side, to like a big boat to combat this little teeny wave. And it may not even be real, but it can have a real triggering effect. So use it as an opportunity to say, wow, okay, what is it in me that is so sensitive to this that can go from, you know, 0 to 60
yeah.
like that? Never mind that the person said this and shouldn't have said
yeah.
that. Maybe that's true. That's fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But what's going on with me? And that's listening and ask yourself, geez, yeah. It doesn't mean it's your fault. Doesn't mean the other
exactly.
person isn't wrong or bad. Maybe they are wrong or
no,
bad.
They may be an a-hole.
What's going on with you inside? And that's, you know, there's some more listening, I think.
Absolutely. We're getting, that's a great point.
Getting to... Because if you're that uncomfortable, look, it's probably trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's, you know, this is maybe the second part of, so in the moment, you know, if you don't want to react the way that you normally do, if you can kind of shut yourself up to some degree, listen to the person and then watch what's going on inside, you know, try to have an amicable sort of meeting or you know, at least be, you know, not just don't get completely, your buttons completely pushed so that you're, you know, blowing up and stuff like that. And, you know, if you've got to get out of that situation in some way, or maybe kind of say, hey, you know, I need to go take some time and really think about this a little bit. I'm not sure why I'm upset with it, whatever you got to do. But, you know, usually that kind of reflection is going to take place, you know, away from the actual situation itself. It's going to be a period of reflection, right? So, you know, take that time and, you know, and sometimes oftentimes it's good. I have to say most of the time it's good to do that fairly soon after that emotional stuff has come up within yourself, because it's most likely you're going to have probably the best chance of getting something unconscious coming up. Like, and you might be able to pinpoint where that comes from or what it's attached to. If you kind of think about, okay, I'm going to say these words to myself, you know, as an example, you can do this exercise, you know, whatever the thing is, like, you know, you always do this to me or something. And you just kind of repeat the phrase that seems to have, you know, triggered you, seems to have set you off over and over in your head while you're in a relaxed state. Maybe just kind of sitting back, closing your eyes or something, to kind of just see what comes up from that. See what images come up. Maybe you'll get something from childhood, or maybe you'll get something from a past relationship, or, you know, maybe you'll get something from another lifetime. Who knows? But the point, right? That's a possibility too. So, and we talk about work. I think we're going to do a show one of these days, and we talked a little bit about this, but we're going to talk about some past life stuff, regression therapy, and things like that, and how that can be helpful. But that's beyond the scope of what we're talking about. But the point is like, you know, if you give that, so if you sort of use that phrase that seems to have all the, you know, kind of weight attached to it, you know, it's you can sometimes get at that cause and see where that actually comes from. And then, you know, once you're able to do that, you kind of dig that up, excavate that, then you can go, oh, it's not with this person. It's not really with this thing. It's with this other thing. And that's the real issue here. I think like what you were talking about there, where, or if someone sets you off a little bit and it is an area that you're sensitive about, that's pretty easy to see. And then you got to go, okay, well, I probably need to shore my self-confidence up in this area, or I need to look at why I'm still really overly sensitive about this, or why people seem to find that weakness and attack it, for example, or so whatever it is that seems like is happening, right? And kind of look at that. So those are a couple of ideas that can be really helpful in those situations. We were talking to speak on a little bit about the idea of shutting up and kind of listening for the higher stuff, for the spiritual stuff, and how we can sometimes, interrupt that flow with all the chatter and all the craziness that goes on in our mind.
Well, they say that praying is when you're talking to God, and then meditation is when you're listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a receptive state. Let's get to God, but let's get there through the individual, through the human being, through the body even, because there's wisdom within, that shutting up our mind chatter, the voices or our voices, every voice, can fill our heads with self-talk, that we're not listening to our greater wisdom, which I believe is connected then to the higher spiritual. It's our internal, eternal, the infinite within, that we have this connection anyway to the great mind, the Akashic Records, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, that we have. We're a drop in that big ocean, but we're still comprised of that, and we're connected intimately and, infinitely with that unity, that wholeness of the divine spirit. But there's the wisdom of the body. Our body knows things, that we, our conscious thinking ego mind, probably isn't paying attention to, that we might need to listen. There's our own, they say higher angels or better, thoughts, our own convictions, ones that maybe we need to back up more strongly with our conduct, but the things we believe, the our soul's longing. We get so wrapped up in the workaday world and what we need to do, and of course we have all this, kind of currently there's a lot of stuff that seems like we have to respond to. It's the climate, it's the virus, it's the social unrest, it's always something, election, who knows. Are you listening to your soul's longing? Are you answering the call of your destiny? When you're all wrapped up in that, probably not. So get tuned in with yourself. And to me, that is the gateway then to the divine spirit. Because if we're not really listening to our deeper selves, how can we even get beyond that? And the point is about the shutting up. It's like, well, then who is speaking now? So if we can listen then to our higher self, or the power of the infinite spirit of God, it's not us. It's not the we who we think we are, our living, moving, mostly egoic, everyday mind. It's a different voice. It may be from within, it may be from without, could be deeply internal or in the great beyond. But it's like, who has the talking stick, And it's not my chatter, it's not my automatic response. It's by definition, if it is the great, infinite, and ultimate reality, it can't be me, because it would be so beyond that anyway. So here's a clue: if it's me, it's not it. So whatever that is, shut it up.
That's a great way to look at it. Exactly. I was kind of, when you were talking, I was reminded of, I was kind of thinking of like the idea of how, when the thoughts are coming up and when these different ideas are popping up in your head and these different things that are coming from the ego and from, automatic responses and from, past experiences that we've had and so on, and all these different things that come up from the unconscious, that are kind of pre-programmed into us. When we sit and we meditate, or we watch ourselves, watch our thoughts, or we're contemplating, or we're involved in something where that kind of puts us in that sort of Zen quality of mind, maybe Tai Chi or some sport for some people. There's different ways. For you, I think you get in that state when you're playing guitar, right? You kind of get out
Well,
of
it can be
yourself
a
and
different state. Yeah, you're
different
definitely out of
state, right?
your regular self, and you're
Yeah.
in a different state. And even just to take a break from that
Yeah.
normal so-called state,
Yeah. Well,
no
it's a
matter what,
separation, right? It's a separation.
just a pause, put
Yeah.
that on pause.
And I think when you can do that and you can notice that you're doing it, be aware of it, you start to realize that there's kind of, and this is not, this is at first it become, it's sort of a duality, but then you understand how it is a unity later on as you watch it more. But you'll notice that there's some part of you that's watching your thoughts. You are not your thoughts, because you can imagine things, you can visualize things, you can stop thoughts, you can bring thoughts up. Sometimes they come up of their own accord, and there's automatic responses, and there's different unconscious impulses, and there's things that happen to us automatically and autonomically through the body and so on. But when you start to watch those thoughts, you watch the things that come up, you realize that there is a true witness. They call this a witness consciousness in Advaita Vedanta. And yeah, you begin to think like, I am watching my thoughts on some, like almost like on a screen of experience, in essence. And it's, there is something behind, these thoughts that is experiencing them. There's something behind the body that's experiencing the body. I'm saying behind, let's say within, or deeper than, or something like that. It's hard to put your finger on the right terminology for it, because we don't have a lot of good terminologies for these experiences. There's something that have to be felt. But if you do try that experiment where you, mindfulness does this a lot, and mindfulness training, they teach you this, where you just start watching experiences that come up, and you kind of watch them like they're clouds going across the sky. And if it helps sometimes to label those things. There's a thought of anger, there's a thought of lust, there's a thought of self-recrimination, there's a thought of guilt. Oh, there's a thought of desire for material things. You label them and watch them, and you realize like they kind of come up of their own accord, but at a certain point you realize like as you're watching them and labeling, they come up slower and slower. It's like the bubble machine that's making them starts to kind of wind down a little bit. And you realize, okay, look, I am not these thoughts. That is the greatest thing that you have to, we talk a lot obviously about mind science and how important thought is. And so the only way that thought can be important is that, if there's a separation in a sense between you and thoughts, because if thoughts were just of their own accord and they just had a life of their own, you'd have no way of controlling them. You'd have no, you'd just be like a robot. You'd be programmed into certain experiences from birth, and your DNA would say, okay, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're capable of, and this is this and this is that. And there's many people who believe that. Many materialist scientists have that point of view. However, if you just kind of look at life, you can see that, there are people who throw that trend, that idea on its ear, because they come out of the worst circumstances possible with the, from the worst environments ever, and they create, lives of, power and positivity, and you know what I'm saying? And so if it were just simply that, here's this, it was, they always make those arguments, nature or nurture, and certainly those things come into play. But my point to all this is, though, there's something behind these thoughts, there's something behind this programming, there's something behind the DNA and the genetics that is much, much greater than any of this human experience we're having. And that's where the self comes in, that's where the witness consciousness is. And the more that you can cultivate that experience of watching things, inside, watching things outside, and this again is a shut up and listen type thing.
Yeah, listen to the
You
watcher.
listen, yeah, right? And see,
Well, the watcher is always on. That's one thing that I think scares a lot of people is it's like your surveillance device. It is always because when we do catch ourselves and go, oh my God, what was I thinking? Jeez. Or something, and you're kind of like you're totally being the witness and you're looking at your thoughts. It's like, geez, can I think better thoughts? It's like that perspective, let's call it, that point of view is always on.
Yeah.
It's always witnessing. You know, we get caught up in the everyday and we don't always connect with that, but we can connect with it. It's like having a drone or something, you know, that can have a camera and shine down. Or if you like the power animal, you can conjure an eagle or a condor, something that flies very high, can have a different perspective of your situation.
Yeah.
Because it can see more of the landscape.
Yeah.
And maybe some pitfalls and, you know, things like that. So that's kind of how I sometimes look, envision the witness, that it's a kind of a higher up, kind of looking
absolutely.
At more things, has more points of connection. But we connect with that. That's what we listen to. Call the watch, you know, person, the watch entity or something, the watcher, and say, you know, wow, show me what I'm doing. Reflect back. Let me, you know, I want to know what's going on with my thinker and what is it thinking?
Sure.
And, you know, why can't I, you know, maybe I can think of some better thoughts and, you know, and not have to, you know, I like that when you call them out, you're talking about these thought bubbles that float by, even the good ones, you know, oh, look, there's compassion. Oh, there's love and kindness. Oh, well, there's, you know, vindiction and spite.
Yeah.
Oh, there's revenge. Oh, there's, you know, hurt. You know, I think they get, you're giving voice to them. You're kind of shutting them up in a sense, by labeling, and they're okay. They're being acknowledged. I think that's maybe what the core of that is. And that is something you do by listening.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think it's the same kind of thing. Like if you think about, you know, like as an example, if let's say you're in recovery, you know, if you notice a craving coming up, you know, if you have the wherewithal to sort of be that, use that witness consciousness, you know, one part of you is attracted to the drugs or alcohol or the behavior or whatever it is. And one part of you sees that that's not the real, you know, your real self, that's not healthy for you. And it's, you know, driving you in a terrible direction and so on. You know, and so if in those moments, if you feel like, for example, you can set that idea up of being the witness of that craving feeling or that, you know, that addiction thought or that normal addiction behavior that would occur. Again, it oftentimes our slips come when our buttons are pushed and then we go into that automatic behavior. Well, you know, someone did this to me and someone said that to me. And so then I'm pissed off. I'm going to get my car and peel off and I'm going to go down to Hollywood and I'm going to go, you know, see my dealer. And then this is going to happen. And then I'm going to be away for 3 days on a bender. And you know what I mean? And it's like, it's an automatic response. We've done that so many times. That's just what we do when that happens.
Yeah.
So when you see it come up and you're like, oh, that person did that. And normally I would do this type of behavior and this is what would come up. Instead of just seeing it, you know, instead of acting out on it, you know, you do something different. You watch it or, you know, or interrupt it with a different pattern. Like instead of getting in the car and peeling off in the drive, you know, out of the driveway and going to my dealer, I'm going to get in the car, calmly drive down to the gym and start hitting a punching bag and watch those thoughts, something like that. You know, you can create that, or, you know, something even which seems kind of stupid, but it's like, oh, I have this, you know, this craving for, you know, the cigarette or, you know, or for some alcohol or something. I'm going to go instead and I'm going to go have a piece of fruit. And you know, for your conscious mind saying, well, piece of fruit, what the hell is that going to do? But what it does is it interrupts the pattern. You know what I mean? It interrupts that pattern. It gives you enough time to kind of get your head together and realize like that's a chain of events. I can break that chain. I don't have to follow it down its normal course of action that it wants to take. I don't want to do that anymore. And again, that's that witness consciousness, seeing that. Because one part of you has those cravings. One part of you has those addictive feelings and behaviors. You know, there's and again, there's, you know, it's complicated. There's physiological stuff and physical stuff going on and psychological stuff. And you know what I'm saying? There's multiple layers. But, you know.
Well, you may not even know.
No.
You may not find the origin. I know a lot of
time
spent in psychotherapy, it's like, well, if I can just get what caused this or where the origin is, that may help sometimes in medicine. That may help sometimes in psychology. But, you know, maybe I don't need to know where the the skin rash came from.
That's
As long as I
true.
can do the right thing to fix it,
That's a
eat
good
more
point.
citrus or something.
Sure.
Who cares what? I don't need to know all that science. Just give me the science of the cure, or whatever it is. So,
Yeah.
and what I mean is, by putting so much emphasis of importance on finding that origin or what's behind it or what caused this or why is it that I think these things this way? What is in my, you might be diverting from the actual progress that you could be
Oh, yeah.
making
Yeah,
if you're all
sure.
caught up in that,
That's a great point.
just saying I may or may not find out,
Yeah.
if it's relevant, put it this way, if it's relevant to the cure, you will find out.
You will find out,
And it will be
exactly.
known to you. If it's not relevant, why spend much time on it? Get going on what's what's better. Okay, so anger, yeah, anger. I don't know why I'm angry. I don't know why I get angry at these things, as opposed to those things. They don't seem to bother me. But when anger crops up, oh, hello, hello, angry. Then you can deal with it. Right away, and listen to your anger, listen to your, ask it, what do you want? Good God, if I think of some other fist fight I'm going to get in the parking lot at Home Depot because somebody parked in the handicap spot in some weird fantasy thing, it's like, no, I don't need to go through that. What I mean,
I don't need to
who's
go down that
generating
road.
that? Come on, what is it you need?
Yeah.
Okay, you have my attention. It's really weird, but obviously you're
But
not
I
getting
respect you.
something.
Yeah, what do you
Yeah,
need?
well, how can I help you? Let's get
That's
through
a great
this,
point. Yeah. I
and then they
love
don't have to rear their head.
absolutely. And and that's you make a great point when you were saying that about about you don't need to necessarily know the cause of it. Sometimes you just need to deal with the symptom or the problem itself, in that moment. And over time you may find the cause, but you're right about that. And I was reminded of that there's that story where the Buddha talks about that. He's like, well, if a man's shot with an arrow, you don't ask the man who, manufactured this arrow and at what was the angle that it hit you at, and what type of feathers were used, and what type of wood is the shaft made out of, and what is what I mean? All these different details about the arrow, you take the arrow out and you treat the wound. And oftentimes it's like that with our problems. We're in the midst of some really terrible thing, and really we don't what we need to do. It could be life or death stuff. When we talk about addiction and things like that, and certain behaviors and compulsions and so on, they're literally oftentimes life and death stuff that we're dealing with. And we just need to, get to the bottom of like, okay, look, we've got to stop this destructive behavior. And over time we might dig out the cause, but right now we just need some tools to stop this thing and to interrupt the pattern, right? So we don't go through that same destructive habit over and over and again. So that's a great point, Chris. Thank you for bringing that up. So I think that's probably going to do it for us. We're going to try and wrap this one up a little bit early tonight. Do you have any parting words that you want to add? Anything else that we didn't cover that forgot? I think we hit everything we wanted to talk about.
Well, I'll just go back to the beginning, shut up and listen. And hopefully we've talked about some practical ways in which you can use this capacity to understand somebody, listen to someone's point of view, hear part of yourself that's maybe not getting the recognition or the healing or the acknowledgement it needs. And listen to the dictates of the great beyond, this unity of consciousness that we're all part of in this universe. It is a universe, even if there's a million of them. Well, then all those together is like the big universe. It's still one.
Yeah, exactly.
And by nature can't be separated. And I know we spend a lot of time separating ourselves from things like that, but one of the great tools we use to do this separating is by talking. The talking with our mouths, the talking in our minds, the words, the thoughts that become habits. We need to speak, we need to communicate, and we need to choose our words and should have absolute freedom of expression. And at the same time, we need to listen. It's like the yin and the yang, it's to make it complete, to have this listening. And that means just chilling on what you're doing.
Yeah.
The mind stream, the thought stream, the habits, this urge to be heard. There's a prayer from St. Francis of Assisi that, I guess I won't go through the whole thing, starts, "Lord, make me a channel of thy peace," but he said, "Lord, grant that I may seek to comfort, then to be comforted, to understand, then to be understood, to love, then to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, and it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life." So that's this shutting up, my words now, is that, you know, yes, we do want to be understood. Yes, we do want to be loved. Yes, we want all that, and we should and could have that. But maybe our focus, we can shift it a little bit and say, yes, as I want those things, I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be understanding. I'm going to forgive, you know, and have this, you know, cultivate this sense of, you know, what is better, you know, than what's going on.
Yeah.
That if something can arise that we're certainly missing, you can miss something by seeking too hard, mm-hmm. by looking too hard, by studying too hard, you know.
Yeah.
There's always a time for, and then you're in the fully, you're activated because you're in consciousness with this issue, but then you're in receptive mode when you stop your doing, and maybe it's even a seed that you planted and that can be cultivated. Maybe it's something you spoke that if you listen, it'll echo back to you, your own wisdom. So never forget your own wisdom.
Beautiful, beautiful.
It knows more than you.
There you go, right? Exactly. Tap into that higher part of yourself. Thank you. That was a beautiful wrap up on that. I appreciate that. All right. So you have been listening to the Cosmic Eye Show. We appreciate you guys listening each week. Thank you. We're here each Sunday with a new show. And of course, on Friday as well with Emmett Fox Friday. So check those shows out. You can go back and listen to the archive. We think we've got like 125, 126 of these things up now. So there's plenty of great subjects, you know, go through and go back and look at some of those that interest you. So again, thank you for joining us. I hope everyone's doing well out there. We're praying for you and sending out positive energy. I know these times can be challenging, but you know, witness the thoughts, watch the thoughts, you know, break the patterns, listen, you know, as we said, shut up and listen at times when you need to, and really kind of start to watch. And I like that St. Francis of Assisi stuff. That's beautiful stuff. So, you know, if you seek to understand first, then you will be understood by others. You know, it seems, like I said, like a paradox, but it's the truth. It's an esoteric truth. So you can find us at cosmiceye.org. My book is If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate. Chris's book is The Spirit and Sky. Both of those are on Amazon. And of course, anchor.fm/cosmiceye is where you can find a place where you can make a donation. And also, if you have any topics, anything you want to hear on the show, you can leave a message on there through Anchor, through the app or through the website. And you can leave a voice message for us or send an email to info@cosmiceye.org. And, you know, we'd love to hear your feedback. So please share that with us. Thanks again. Have a great week. We'll see you again soon. Goodbye and God bless.